Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I'd just like to speak a word over us about the goodness of God. You know, I've been a Christian for more than 60 years, and I was reflecting on the goodness of God, but the Lord said to me this morning, He said, this goodness is like a yeast in the bread. An activity of the goodness of God is in the bread, and it's activated right now. There's an activation of the yeast of God, that's the goodness of God, that's in the bread. And it's kind of hidden, and it's in a process. And it's in your circumstance right now. It's not just like reflecting on the past or even looking into the future. All of that is true because the yeast is at work and it will take on the whole lump. But the goodness of God specifically is at work today in your circumstance. You need to declare it. The goodness of God is working in my circumstance, because that's where it really counts. I mean, you could just have a theory about it, but God's saying, no, it's right now. It's in your circumstance. What is it? It could be a troubling circumstance. God's goodness is in that. It could be something that's like the favor of God in you. That's the goodness of God. It doesn't matter whether it's in the valley or it's on the hill. It's the goodness of God that is at work. And we can just say, yay, Jesus, thank you for your goodness.
Thank you, God. Come on, just say, the goodness of God is at work. Come on, say it like you mean it. The goodness of God is at work. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you right now. You're just opening up our eyes to see that. Father, in any circumstances that seem contrary to your goodness, I thank you that you are working all things together for our good. Because we love you and we are surrendering to you. So you can start writing that testimony, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, God. All right, well, we're just going to keep going right here. We're going to do our offering right in this place of worship. And I just want to share, in the next couple weeks, we're going to actually be... That was abrupt. Thank you. No, you're fine. I was just like... It's just my voice all of a sudden. What do I do? Over the next couple weeks, we're going to be sharing a new missions initiative that we are going to be doing as a church, where we're actually going to be supporting some homeless ministry locally, some sex trafficking in our state, as well as feeding the orphans and our church plant over in Malawi. So we're really excited to be extending our missions reach this year. So we're going to be getting into that and sharing what that looks like very specifically in the next couple weeks. But as always this morning, we want to invite you to give your tithes, your generosity. If maybe we could pause the announcements. I'm like about ready to start running with that. Thank you. There we go. All right. So if you want to go to thriveny.org/give, everyone say boo. That was a very not convincing boo. Everyone say boo again. All right. Boo-hoo. Thank you. You got it. We had the who in the back and the boo in the middle. We're still waiting for that letter from the New York State government. This is just going to become the biggest joke and the biggest announcement for like the year. I hope it ends. Just say it ends today in Jesus' name. Anybody been waiting on a breakthrough and you're just still waiting on it, right? Well, we're still waiting on it. So make checks out to ROFC. That's the big announcement there with that. We have a new giving platform, and we're going to do something this morning that we have never done before, but you all are going to get to hear my voiceover voice. So what you all don't know is before I became a full-time pastor here, I was the marketing director at the Ithaca and Cortland Pregnancy Centers, and I still do that on the side just project-based for them. But I produce their annual fundraising banquets. And so I make all these videos and I do all these interviews and we edit it all together. And I did something for us today that I did for them, which is I did a voiceover tutorial on our website. So everyone say, oh boy, right? Here we go. Y'all are going to hear my Hollywood starring voiceover that I recorded yesterday and took 10 takes to take. So don't make fun of me if I pronounce a word wrong. But I'm going to show you guys how to give on our website. And please don't hear this as me like begging for money or anything like that. It's just that we updated our platform on our website and I got some feedback that it was a little confusing. So I just wanted to clarify how to actually do this. So Brian's going to pull up the video. It's on YouTube, so y'all can make it a viral video if y'all want to look it up later and really knock your socks off. But if you want to follow along, if you give online or you want to try giving online, pull out your phone and I'm going to walk you through it. And hopefully this video makes sense. If it doesn't, you can give me a 1-star rating on Amazon, right? So Brian, pull it up for us, please. You get your phones out and I'm going to show you how. We're going to just take 2 minutes real quick here and I'm going to show you our new giving platform that's online. So if you want to get your phones out, we're going to go to thriveny.org. This is our new website and you're going to find actually we have a podcast, we have group information, an active prayer wall, but of course also the give button over here, which we're going to click today. If you're on your phone, you'll notice that this is all found in a drop-down menu right at the top. You can click Give Online here, or you can scroll down and discover three ways to give. So, of course, you can give in person always, but we also have an option to text to give. So that's at 84321. You just text the amount to that number. And then to give online, you're going to click Give here. So you can put an amount in, and then you can even choose the frequency that you would like to give. So of course, one-time donations are always an option, but you can also set up regular donations, which is a great way to faithfully tithe. You can give weekly, every other week, monthly, or twice monthly, and you can choose the day of the week that you would like to give and your first donation date. So after filling that out, you would put in your email and your name and then click continue. This will open up your last two options here, which is to give by debit or credit card, or you can put your bank account information in. This is a great way to give if you have time to put your bank info in and if you are giving it a larger amount because the online giving fees are actually very minimal and so that saves money that way. So you would just click one of these two options, follow the steps, and then you will have given. Thank you so much for your faithful generosity and tithes that make it possible for us to reach out both locally and internationally with the gospel. All right, how'd I do? Be honest. Was it a 1-star, 2-star? Did that work? All right. I'm not going to change careers. I'm going to still keep my calling here as a pastor. Don't worry. I don't think I'd make it in Hollywood too much. Hopefully that helped. You know, it mentions in Proverbs 22 times to give to God first before giving elsewhere. And so that's just a value we have in this church so that we can really effectively reach out. And again, I'm going to get into the missions that we're going to be supporting this year, some of them new, and then, of course, continuing in Malawi, and then, of course, our local church, which we are building up as well. So I'm going to pray if you want to stand on your feet. Thank you for sitting through that video. And if you ever have any questions about how to give, you can just talk to me. Thank you for your grace as we change softwares. So Jesus, we just thank you so much for the opportunity we have to give back to you, God. Thank you that we can honor you with our time, God, with how we interact with each other, but also in our finances. And God, I just pray right now, and I thank you for a supernatural outpouring of your provision this week, God, that people would have jobs and better jobs, just like the thing we used to say together out loud, Father, that there would be checks in the mail, that your provision would pour out, not just so we have enough, but we have enough to give to others also, God. And we thank you that we can honor you by giving first back to you and watch your blessing in our life, not just financially, but in every area as we are faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I guess we've got two younger basket holders. Thank you, guys. Can you put your masks on just so, since you don't have one. Mine's right there. Go grab it. There you go. All right. Pastor Caleb's going to share some announcements, and then I'm going to welcome our guest speaker, who we always say is a guest speaker, but he's not really a guest speaker. He is a guest, but he's family as well. So,
hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know what? Oh. Before I am fired, if you're a child, we just invite you to leave the sanctuary now. I always forget on Kids Sunday. They're always like, we need more time with the kids. So if you're a child or a youth, which is an older child, but I know you don't like to be called that, we invite you now to make the mass exodus. I always feel like the Israelites leaving Egypt when this happens. I'm sure there's a Red Sea parting somewhere out there. But if you guys want to make your way out, and then we're just going to continue here. Thank you, guys.
We're continuing. Good morning. Welcome to Thrive. Thank you. It's awesome to see you here. Oh, special Brandon's here. Look at him. What up? Wow. Amazing. I'm just in a good mood. I'm just in a good mood this morning, and I just want to declare that over all of us. It's all right to have fun in church. It's all right to laugh in church. It's all right to have a good time in church. It's all right to be in a good attitude and be happy. It's awesome to be here this morning. There are people all around the world who can't do what we're doing here this morning, and they wake up every day with a smile upon their face because they get to worship their Jesus. They have a smile because there's something that can't be taken away from them, no matter what they face. And for that gladness, my joke for today. What was Beethoven's favorite fruit? What was his favorite fruit? Okay, it was banana-na-na. Yes, that was it. Hang my head. Quick to the announcements. As we always do, we invite people to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus today. Our upcoming events for the next couple of weeks are, if you're new here, go to the welcome desk after the service. We'd love to connect with you if you haven't already. Today is Kids Sunday. As you all saw, all the kids ran out. It's a golf theme. Your kids are about to have a ton of fun and learn about Jesus. Directly following church today from 12 to 1 p.m., we will have our parents class. All parents of children 0 to 18 are welcomed. Get resources, build relationships, and learn how to thrive in Jesus as a parent. Today's video and resources are focused on how to rediscover your child every year. And now, Pastor Hannah, it is time for you to introduce our special guest.
He missed a very important announcement, which is Brian and I are providing free childcare tomorrow night for Valentine's Day. Y'all can be praying and interceding for us. So if you have a child or you know a family that would love to go out for Valentine's Day, but maybe can't quite figure out how to do childcare and doing that at the same time, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you can drop your children off here, and Brian and I will be here. If anyone wants to come hang out with us and help us with that, you are more than welcome to as well. So that's how Brian and I are spending our Valentine's Day. All right, wonderful. So I am excited to announce Pastor Rich and Thor. Pastor Rich is a spiritual father in our church. I got to mentor with him a long time ago. I don't remember how long ago. A couple of years ago. Back in my youth, before COVID, I used to drive down to Harrisburg once a month and get to hear his mentorship on what it means to be a pastor and an apostle and just biblical studies, and also experience their school, which he was the pastor at Life Center Church. And imagine, I don't know how many people there were. I have no idea actually what the average 100, okay. So imagine like 100 people. If anyone remembers, we actually used to have a ministry school here. So it's kind of like that. But imagine 100 people kind of crammed into a space, but everybody is wanting to be there and learn about God and take their next step in faith. And I'd have dance parties and worship, and Georgian Banoff is there, and he plays the violin, so he's been my hero for years, and he ministers with his violin, and so he would get his fiddle out, and he would start dancing with his fiddle, and they'd be, like, following him, kind of like a dance, you know? Everyone's looking at me like, are you kidding me? But no, you had to be there. And the freedom of God moving in that place, and people would be getting healed and dancing or laughing or getting freedom. it was a mess, but it was like the most holy, wonderful mess. So I'm praying in some holy messes during worship here. I know it's cold and some of us get a little bit frozen, myself included, but he carries that fire of God, God's love and his hope and his joy. He doesn't play the violin. That's the only downfall, but that's okay. But he carries that and he's going to release that this morning. And I hear he has some running stories as well. So I don't know if you guys were going to minister at all prophetically, or you do whatever you want. So take the mic and have at it.
Thank you, Hannah. Wow. Come on up, Thor. This is my traveling companion, Thor. I always feel more powerful having Thor with me. And the Scandinavian. And it is interesting being in a school that's spirit-filled. Of course, now I got done with that last year, and now I'm just at large. I'm kind of dangerous at large. But of course, Georgians, my in-law, some people think I look like him. And sometimes I've been mistaken for him, and they come up to me and said, "I love your violin." And I said, "No, you don't. You do not love my violin." But it is interesting when the Holy Spirit takes over your life. It's your joy. It's your strength. And amazing things happen every place. We had a wedding yesterday that the Holy Spirit showed up at that I was officiating. And it was in the John Harris Mansion. And right at the end, after we were giving the pronouncement, I noticed that the maid of honor, you know, she wasn't coming up in the line the way so that we could, you know, say the final things. And so I finally grabbed her. I said, "Cheryl, come up here." And she got slain out. So we were like, you know, these are interesting things that happen during weddings. But the presence of God was just so strong that the Holy Spirit just was taking over. It's a beautiful thing when God takes over a wedding, and God's going to take over here today. Who knows, right? But we're going to talk about running. You've been on the theme of running today, so we are going to be talking about that. And Thor had a few things to say about the paths of life, running on the paths of life. You know, so I want to just have you share what you had on your heart, Thor. He's an amazing man of God, been a great partner of mine with Eastgate Revival Ministries. Thank you.
Hey, it is a privilege just to be with you guys. So thanks so much for letting us join you. When I was praying for you guys, and in Psalm 23, there's a verse that says in verse 3, so Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, "He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness." And what struck me about that in particular was it's not just one pathway, but rather he opens pathways to his pleasure. And then Psalm 18 says, "You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way." So in combining those two, there's not just one. Like religion would say there's a path you need to take, and it makes it very narrow and very restrictive. But the Lord's heart and the way Jesus loves to do it is like he has many pathways. So one pathway may not look like another pathway, but it's his righteousness, you know, like he leads me in his footsteps of righteousness. And so whether you're going to pursue baking, whether you're going to pursue being at home, whether you're going to pursue woodworking, whether you pursue this, like God loves creativity, and those pathways, he gives so much freedom to be able to walk in the pathway that it's on your heart. And the idea of a broad path and not one that's narrow is that he actually freedom to just dance and freedom to be you. And that's what he loves. He loves about just the freedom is the way he created you to be who you are and taking whatever path is on your heart. So anyways, that's the one thing that struck me. That was it.
Thank you, Thor. He is just an amazing encourager in a lot of ways. We love you guys. I just want to tell you that. And you are thriving, and spring is coming. There is no snow in Harrisburg. Spring is on the way. We're, you know, it's coming. So just want to encourage you today. And in your running for Jesus, in your running of the race. So we're going to Proverbs chapter 4 today. And the name of my message is Never Run Alone. It's good advice. Never run alone. Especially if you're in downtown Harrisburg. Like, you know, in some of those streets. But it's good to run. Never run alone. You know, Paul, many times the apostle was inspired by the Olympics. He was, you know, preaching around Athens and Corinth, and he saw the Olympic Games. He saw the prize. He saw the competition, and he uses it, you know, in 1 Corinthians 9 and other places, that whole picture of running the race. And life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. How many of you know there's different seasons of life? There's different mountaintops and valleys, like our brother was talking about, but goodness is running after us. That's a great sermon. I think I need to preach that sometime, right? Goodness and mercy following after us. And but it is, you should never run alone. And actually, running alone is painful and it's lonely. You know, when I was going into high school, they said I was a good runner, you know, but the whole idea of just running alone and thinking about your pain, that just did not appeal to me at all, because it's painful sometimes to run. But it's funny how that if you get a soccer ball, you forget about your pain, and you can run all day, basically. It's a funny thing where your focus is. And my first, you know, our soccer team was pitiful. We'd never won a game. And so anyway, I went in, and I talked to the coach, and he said, listen, you know, if you run all day tomorrow in our first game, I will play you the rest of the season. Fair enough. So he just showed me where the positions were and all that. And I said, I can do this. I can run for 2 hours, you know. And I got in there and it was 90 degrees. And but I so wanted it and I so loved racing after the soccer ball that I had, you know, that was the rest. And I became, you know, captain of the soccer team next year. And we actually started winning some games. And so, you know, that was a great thing. So running itself can be painful, but if you're focused on something else, another goal, it becomes a joy. You know, it's just good to run with somebody because it's inspirational. They help you along. And I had a lab partner in forestry who was a cross-country star. And so I was at my best shape. I was playing soccer for the University of Maine, and I was in good shape. And he said, you want to do a five-mile run? And I said, okay, I've never really done that before. And this guy's going to run fast 5 miles. And so I said, well, it's a challenge. I just want to see what it's about. And this is kind of what it's about, if you ever are curious. The first mile was great. You know, you're in good shape. You're running along with the guy, and it's fun, and everything's amazing. Running with this guy, mile number two is like everything hurts. Everything on your body hurts. Things that you didn't even know existed are hurting at this point. And you're just, I would have given up without him. Like, I'm just going to keep following him, see what happens. And then, praise the Lord, mile three, there's a runner's high. I don't know if any of you have experienced it before, but it's like God's gift to you to keep you through the pain. Endorphins start kicking in and the pain disappears and you're floating above the ground. It's almost like you're on drugs or something. It was very, very amazing and it was like surreal, like something in the supernatural. It's a real thing. It really is. And then, of course, mile four, you're coming down off of that. And then mile five, you're seeing, I just hope there's a finish line, like get me there. And I made it to the finish line, but my buddy sprinted the last mile. But anyway, it was something that I'll never forget, but it helped me to realize it's sort of like life. There's times where there's pain, and there's other times where there's highs, and there's other times where you just got to see the goal and keep on going, you know, and that's part of life. But I'm telling you, don't run alone. So in Proverbs chapter 4, I was just reading that this week, and I was noticing there's stuff about races in here and running. And then Hannah said, you guys were talking about running. So I said, why not? Let's just jump in and see what's here in Proverbs 4. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. And These are the three buddies you should be running with. You should be running with wisdom, you should be running with passion, and you should be running with focus. Those are your three partners that you should be running with. And this is what the book of Proverbs tells us. And so I just wanted to share a few scriptures with you today about that, how it's important to run with these buddies, and it'll help you to stay on the right path and the right goal. So we're looking at chapter 4 and over in verse 6. And it almost, in the book of Proverbs, if you realize, wisdom is like talked about like a woman, a wise woman, and if you love her, she'll love you, and she'll give you all kinds of amazing things. I love this. Stick with wisdom, and she will stick with you. So if you're running together, you'll stick together. It's an amazing thing. And she will protect you throughout all your days. She will rescue all that passionately listen to her voice. Wisdom will exalt you when you exalt her truth. She will lead you to honor and favor when you live your life by her insights. And verse 9, and this is really the key verse on this one. It says, she will place a garland of grace on your head and a crown of beauty upon you, so glory will wrap itself around you and make you victorious in the race. I love this because we get the prize first and not at the end. That's what grace does. The minute you give your heart to Jesus, you've already won. Because the name Jesus, the Nazarene, actually means the victorious one. So if you begin to run with the victorious one, you have to win. You can't lose. Isn't that good? Whoa. And so what happens when you actually give your life to Christ? He actually puts a crown, a garland called grace on your head. And you get a crown of beauty, of holiness on you that makes you victorious in the race. So you get eternal life instantly. It's not like something you run for the rest of your life to go to heaven. Heaven already invades you when you find Jesus, because heaven comes inside of you when you ask Jesus in your heart. So that's such an amazing thing that you win before you start. Religion doesn't say that. Religion says, well, if you try to be good enough and you just run a hard race your whole life, maybe you'll make it to heaven. That was kind of like how I used to live, you know, growing up in church. I was thinking, I'm going to try to be good enough and run good enough so that God will be pleased and maybe I'll make it in. That's basically all the religions of the world right there. But Christianity is different. Jesus already won the battle on the cross. He already rose from the dead. He's already living forever amongst us. And he says, if you'll trust me, if you'll give your life to me, you've already won the race, because I've already won the race. Whoa, and this is what this verse is all about. It says that if you'll run with wisdom, you will be adorned with a garland of grace and the beauty, the crown of beauty. So he took the crown of thorns, so we get the crown of beauty. What an amazing thing that he has done for us, the one that has run before us to make us victorious in the race. And over in verse 18, it talks about the path that we're running on. It says, the lovers of God run on the highway of light, and their way shines brighter and brighter until they come forth into the perfect day. Whoa, but the wicked, they run in thick darkness, and they stumble like those that travel in the fog. You ever been in the fog? I felt like I was in the fog the whole time before Jesus. Just kind of, there's got to be meaning out here. There's got to be an answer. There's got to be something. But then Jesus shines his light into our life. It's really something. So isn't that great that we actually win before we start? How good is, I like that kind of race right there. Because it's like Romans 8, 15 and 16. The spirit of religion actually is a spirit of condemnation, that you're never good enough. But the spirit of sonship is where we cry up, we are accepted. We are his beloved. And that's what helps us to win the race right there, because we know that we're his. So you want to run with wisdom. Make sure you do that. She's always there with you. Wow. Holy Spirit. The second one is run with passion. It's important if you're going to win to run with passion. And that's verse 21. Let me read this here. Because, you know, you've got to run with heart. Whatever you do in life, you've got to run with something that you really are in love with. And really, the whole theme of verses 21 to 23 is to guard your thoughts and your affections. That's really important, because your heart, your thoughts and your affections guide what kind of race you're going to run, which path you're going to run on. And so let me just read this here. These are just three amazing verses. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep in your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health to the very core of your being. This is talking about meditation. Meditation on the word, not just reading it in the morning, but unwrapping it during the day. So God's speaking to you, you're thinking about the word of God, you're meditating upon it, and you're listening to the Holy Spirit hour by hour, minute by minute, as God is speaking to you. And then you're unwrapping these things in your mind, and guess what? It goes down into your heart, into the core of your being. Isn't that good? And it says, above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So it's very important that we guard our thoughts, guard our hearts together, because our very being flows out of them. If you're in love with Jesus, that's going to flow out. And where your thoughts are, your affections are, that's who you are. And you can't fake it. You can't kind of be the two people. You can try to be a Pharisee, but it doesn't work very well, because your real being, especially when there's pressure, the real you flows out. And so that's the important thing, to get it deep in your spirit, not just on the surface. You know, this 2022, I made a resolution to renew my mind daily in new ways, to let the Holy Spirit, yielding to his thoughts, to his being. And I've been excited, because the last 30 days, my thought life is changing my actions and my emotions and my affections. It's really exciting. Try this. Renew your mind in new ways by the Holy Spirit, and it will change the way you act and feel and think. It really does. Try it. Give it a 30-day thing and see what it does. Wow, it's just so good. And you know, above all, guard your affections, because if you really love Jesus, it's going to flow out to other people. People are going to be affected by it, the people around you. And if you really are thinking about the world and the things and all the other things of the world, then that's going to be where your love goes. Because I really believe that your willpower is limited. So really, in the end, you're going to do what you love to do. You know that's true? You're going to do what you love to do in the affections of your heart, and when push comes to shove, that's where you're going to gravitate towards. So if your thoughts are on Jesus and on loving other people, that's where it's going to flow out of your life. So run with passion, passion for Jesus, and people will be affected, and you're going to run a good race. The third thing is run with focus. This is good. How many could get distracted? Every hour, every minute, every second. So this is really good to know that you've got to keep your, not be distracted by certain things that I'm mentioning, waving around, because this is the greatest portal that has ever been invented to the world. And it can either be a portal for good or bad, depending on where your affections and your thoughts go. And so focus is really important. So let me just read this in verse 25 to 27. Set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead, ignoring life's distractions. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked for even a moment or take a detour that leads to darkness. How strong a warning is that? Not to be distracted for even a moment, because you can lose an opportunity of eternity. I'm finding like every day I want to be focused on the kingdom of God, or else there'll be opportunities passing me by. There are lives, put it this way, there are many lives waiting on the other side of our obedience. I want to say that again. There are many lives waiting on the other side of our obedience. And I'm thinking that, you know, each day, if we'll be focused on the Holy Spirit and depending upon the Holy Spirit to talk to us and to lead us and to guide us, then we will not miss those opportunities. We'll be flowing with the winds that God is giving us. Thor and I last week were in West Milford, New Jersey. And we went to a Chinese restaurant afterwards, and there was a waitress there that came in, and she looked just like Michaela Schifrin, you know, our champion skier. And I said, this is a sign, like God has his hand on her. And so she began to just open up her heart about the situation she's in financially and with her, you know, family and everything like this. And, you know, how she's trying, you know, she was a dancer, but she didn't have time to dance and all these different things. So we got out to the car, and we felt the Holy Spirit. And we felt like we'd like to bless her, you know, somehow. And Thor says, $100. I think we need to give her $100. So we both went, ran to the ATM. We felt the Lord in it. We went in. She was in behind the bar. And, you know, and Thor just said, we just feel like God really loves you because Jesus told us to get this money out and to bless you today. And he really cares about what you're going through. And we've been praying for you. And she started just bawling in the back of that bar. And her life was changed. And so I was telling Pastor Nick, like, you need to follow up with her because she's really close to the kingdom. I'm just thinking there are times when the little whisper of the Holy Spirit tells you to bless somebody or to, you know, just give a word or to share something with somebody, and it could be the shifting point in their life. So to be focused on what the Lord is telling us and to be obedient, because people are waiting for the Lord. They really are. And we're the conduit that God wants to use for that. So it tells us to be focused on what the kingdom is telling us. Don't be distracted for even a moment, because we can miss our opportunities. And don't take the detours that can lead to darkness, that's for sure. So we need to run with running buddies. Their names are wisdom, passion, and focus, right? But you might say to yourself, how do we do this? How do we run with wisdom and focus and passion? Well, the whole thing comes together with just running with Jesus. Run with Jesus. I mean, that fixes the whole thing, and it's much better if you do. In fact, there's a Bible verse about this. Hannah's probably already used it, I'm sure, but Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about, you know, since we have these cloud of witnesses, all these other heroes that have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily come against us, and run with determination and passion, this marathon race that we're in, looking unto Jesus. He's the champion runner. He's already run the race for us. He suffered for us. He died for us. He lived the most heroic life that anyone has ever lived. And because of him, because of the joy set before him, which is us, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and now, you know, he is sitting at the right hand of God. But he also has a prize for us. The amazing thing is, our greatest prize is him. He is the greatest prize. If you find Jesus, you have won the prize. You have won the megabucks. You have won everything if you have found Jesus. But with him comes so much more as we learn who he is and what he is. So in closing today, I wanted to just give an exhortation from Philippians chapter 3. It basically paraphrases this, that even though I've run a good race, there's still more. Paul says, I've run, but I'm not satisfied. You know, I've been a Christian for, it'll be 50 years this year. And, you know, I've run a race. There's been good years, bad years, but I've never been sorry that I gave my heart to Christ. Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine my life without him, because he is my running buddy. He is everything to me. He is my best friend. He is the one I wake up with and the one I go to bed with. I mean, Jesus is my life. And without him, I would have lost the race a long time ago. And so Paul goes on to say that, but this one thing I want to do, I want to forget the past. I want to forget the path behind me. And I want to run this next year. That's my focus. Run this next year for Jesus in a way that I never have before. And he talks about the fact that, because I want to reach my heavenly goal, but also gain the victory prize. Like I was saying, if you are born again, if you know Jesus personally, then you've already won the victory prize. You've already have the heavenly prize. Heaven is inside of you. You don't have to wait to die to have eternal life. You have life right now. And that's the important thing. You've already won. But the question is now, at the judgment seat, how much reward would you get for what you did for Christ? How many people did you win to Christ? What kind of love, what kind of family did you give your love to? And all these different things. That's, you know, that's the victory prize that we also know. But when this life is over, you know, we're going to be so glad that we ran the race with Jesus. Because running the race without him, just there's no victory there. So I wanted to close with just this story of what happened. It's so important to how important it is to know Jesus, but also to lead other people to Jesus. About a month ago, I had news that my cousin was dying of cancer. And, you know, we were really close when I was a little boy, but we, you know, things, life happens and so on. She had lived right here in New York State over near Troy. And, you know, but she had this spiritual journey like a lot of us had in the 60s where we went east. What can I say? That's all we say. You know, the Beatles went to India, so a bunch of us went to India. I know. And she went to India and became a flower child. And, you know, similar journey to mine, but a little bit different. But continuing to work for the state of New York and different things, and really had a lot of spiritual hunger, but never looked in the right places for it. You know what I mean? And so anyway, a month ago, we found out she was dying. My brother was sending her a lot of encouraging notes, and we were praying for her and different things. And she was in hospice, and then really, she hadn't been able to eat for a month. And so we knew it was near the end, and I just happened to be preaching in Hamilton, New York a few weeks ago. And I just happened to be going to Maine to be with my mom and to drive right through Troy, New York. So it's like, when am I in Troy, New York? Never. So I'm thinking, this is obviously an assignment that the Holy Spirit gave me. But yet, her boyfriend, I wasn't even sure. He didn't know me. I wasn't even sure if he'd be open to me being there. And so, but I was just praying, God, go before me. This is you. I know it is. So at 2:20, I showed up at the house. He said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm her cousin, and I just wanted to stop in for 10 minutes, just to see her, you know." And so he let me come in and spend 10 minutes with her, and Jesus walked into the house. I am not kidding you. The Lord gave me a funny line, something from Santa Claus 2. I love how the Lord does this. You know, Santa Claus, he had to find a wife to continue as Santa Claus, if you've seen the movie. And so they were saying, she's saying, "This is pretty sudden. We've only known each other for like a week, you know, to get married." But then he says, "Actually, you've known me all your life." And so the Lord kind of gave me that. So I walk in, and of course, she's in a coma. She's a skeleton. But for some reason, I wasn't fazed by anything. The Lord's presence was just so strong in the room. And I went over and began to whisper to her that Jesus has known you all your life. And he has loved you all your life. And he's followed you to India. You know, and I just began to tell her that he's here today. And he's going to encounter you. And all you have to do is open up your heart. It's all you have to do, and trust him rather than yourself. You can either run this race yourself, or you can let the Lord run it with you. It's sort of like that footprints in the sand. The guy looked back over his life, and he saw these two footprints, sets of footprints in the sand. And he said, "That's amazing, Lord, how you just, you know, ran with me and walked with me my whole life." But then he noticed one place where there was just one set of footprints. And it was at the lowest points of his life. And he said, "Lord, why did you abandon me in those darkest hours?" And the Lord said, "My child, that's when I carried you." So presence of the Lord was so strong. And I felt the Lord right at the bed there. And she stopped breathing for 30 seconds. I said, "I guess the Lord took her home." You know, that was it. And so, but how am I going to explain this to her boyfriend, you know? So, but anyway, I put my hand on her shoulder and she started breathing again. Oh, thank the Lord. So anyway, but I was convinced Jesus had touched her, encountered her, and she was hearing what I was saying and she was responding. So the next day, she passed away at 2:20. But the most incredible thing for me was last week, as I was going to sleep about midnight, had something very unusual happen. As I was just about asleep, I started seeing things. I wasn't thinking about a thing, but I started like going into this vision, and I started seeing translucent colors floating around in my head, and then I saw these white shafts of light. And I was, wow, what is this? I was like a mute, like, what am I seeing? What's going on here? And then my cousin appears to me. And she's young and she's vibrant and she's smiling and she runs and hugs me and says, "Rich, thank you so much that I'm in this place." Give the Lord a hand. Isn't that amazing? So I haven't gotten over it yet. I haven't. But the Lord loves us so much. And he's just wanting to just tell us that it's worth the race. Whatever you're running, whatever you're going through today, it's going to be worth it. Because we can't even imagine the glory that the Lord has. And the fact that someday I'm going to get to hug her again. Man. So let's all stand together. I hope today, if you're here and you're running alone, run with Jesus. It's a much better race. Oh, my goodness. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for everyone here today. You know exactly where they are in life's marathon. If they're on a going up, a running up a mountain, or coming down the other side, or if it's easy or if it's hard. But the important thing is, Lord, that you're with us, that you are going before us and that you have our lives in your hands. Lord, if there's someone here today that's not sure that they belong to you, or if they really are not sure you love them or can carry them, Lord Jesus, let their hearts know today that you do care and that your path is the one that we can trust. And Lord, I just ask that you would help them today to say just yes. Yes, I don't want to run this race alone. I want to have you in my life to trust and to care for me and to give me eternal life. Lord, today, let them just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I don't want to run this race alone. I've come to the end of myself. And I say, yes, Lord, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and give me eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. You might say, that seemed too simple. Well, you know, the thing is, God knows your heart. And he knows if you're sincere, he really did come in. And he really did take your sins away. And he's really going to be with you the rest of your life. It's that simple, but yet it's that profound. You've got to give up your own trust in yourself and put it in him. That's how simple it is. I said a little simple prayer in 1972 with a Catholic nun, something very simple, and I said, seemed pretty simple. I didn't feel any fireworks, but my life totally changed because I put my trust in him and not me. So praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand today if somebody did that. Amen. Hannah.
Thank you so much. If you said that prayer for the first time, or if you just rededicated your life to God, let us know at the welcome desk, and we would love to talk with you more, get you a Bible. So we're just going to close out here. Wasn't Pastor Rich just amazing in what he brought? Amen. I encourage you, get into Proverbs 4 this week. If you're looking for something to study, get into the scripture that he shared a lot of scriptures, but the Proverbs 4, that was really powerful. So I encourage you to study that this week in your own time, if you've got a family, to look at it with them. But I'm just going to close out here with one more quick announcement, which is, part of our church, we're just committed to equipping. We're committed to both having new people meet Jesus, and then also sending people out to the mission field. And this Sunday, Pedro and Alyssa, which I don't know where Pedro's with the kids. That's right. So Pedro's with the kids serving, which is awesome. But Pedro and Alyssa have a transitional moment, not permanent, but moment in their life. They've been running with us in the leadership team, I think, for 2 years possibly now. It seems like forever. They're going to continue. They're still on the leadership team. But Pedro has been doing an intensive internship and study in pastoral training, which we've just loved cheering him on in. And I'm sure we've all encountered him growing in ministry, which has been amazing. He's done our Spanish service now for a while, which has been very powerful, reaching people who speak Spanish, both locally and abroad on Facebook. But for the next period of time, his internship in ministry school is actually going to be taking them away from our Sunday morning service for a little bit. So they are not leaving, but we are going to say, see you soon. So please reach out to them. What I've told them and what they've told me is it just means community has to be more intentional, all right? So if you don't see them, shoot them a text or they'll shoot you a text. We're going to continue doing life together, but if you're wondering where they are on a Sunday morning, they're going to be somewhere else just in his training, and then hopefully come back, and then we can send them on some more mission trips and have an amazing continued time together as the family of God. So that's that little announcement. And then just to end here, I know regulations have been changing and mandates and all of that. And as a church, we just have continued to recommend that people follow the local guidelines. But if anyone is wearing a mask or is doing that this morning, I just want to encourage us to be sensitive to that. And if someone's wearing a mask, to have a mask on with them. however you are doing that, but just to be sensitive to each other. We want to continue to do that as the family of God. Amen? All right. God bless you. Grab a cup of coffee. If you are a parent, stay here, and we've got, I'm looking at you right here. I saw that flinch. He needs to be here. So we've got parenting class, or you're a grandparent. If you've got a child in the house, or you have a child in the house sometimes, 12 to 1 o'clock, we've got an incredible life-changing parenting course. And when I say life-changing, I'm not trying to make it sound like some commercial I'm selling. It really is amazing. Learning how to disciple your child in the Word of God, no matter what their age is. 12 to 1 today. It's always the second Sunday of the month. And God bless you. And be a witness this week. We will see you next Sunday. Can't wait to see how God moves this week in your life. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.